You're listening to BuddhistGeeks.com, July 2nd, 2007. Episode 26, Buddhist Geeks Highlights. In this episode, the three geeks gather at the Falling Fruit Studio and reminisce about the first 6 months of Buddhist Geeks. Each discuss their favorite podcasts and posts. They also plug the new, hot, and sexy Buddhist Geek t-shirts. In the next episode, the geeks will discuss feedback from the Sangha and the future of Buddhist Geeks. This is part one of a two-part series. This episode of Buddhist Geeks is sponsored by the Do No Harm Movement. To find out more about the Do No Harm Movement and to receive a free Do No Harm bumper sticker, please visit www.donoharm.us.
We got the B-Geeks gathered here for the first time in about 6 months. We kicked off, when was it, Vince?
January 8th.
All right, January 8th, 2007, and it's now the end of June. So it's the first time the three of us have gotten together to have a little rap session.
Yeah, I missed you guys.
Yeah, Vince took a hiatus.
Yeah, I went to the East Coast for a little while, and you guys just inexorably
then you went to the
pulled
West
me
Coast.
Back. Yeah, east, west, and now back to the middle of the country.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Ryan?
I've just been staying here.
But he and Vince kicked off a pretty major project recently.
Yep, Falling Fruit.
I'm going to embarrass you guys by bragging on you.
That's cool. And we're recording in Falling Fruit studio right now.
So you'll notice the change in quality.
Yes, hopefully. We all sound slick and very smooth.
You don't hear the whirring of the fan in the background.
That people mistake as an ocean, thankfully. You might have heard that in Vince's podcast. And I keep hearing that people thought it was an ocean.
Yeah, sorry for that, folks. I was trying to record into my MacBook using a couple different programs at once when I interviewed John Travis, I think. And it sounded like zzzz throughout the whole podcast, so I apologize.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
But now we're on some real recording equipment, so maybe that won't happen.
This makes Ryan's job a little bit easier, I hope.
Yes, much easier and less frustrating.
I don't know. I guess I'd like to hear what you guys thought were the highlights of 2007 to date. What were the banging topics on the site? Or what were your favorite interviewees? Or Ryan, who did you really enjoy interviewing or talking with so far?
My own personal interviews? Well, I think...
probably me, huh?
Definitely Vince. I was like, oh, please, Vince, say yes. I want to interview you. No, Vince was cool. I like Vince. Well, what interviews have I done? Vince and Phil?
Yep.
Is that it?
Alan?
No, I didn't
Vince.
Do Alan.
So Vince or Phil?
Vince or Phil.
Pick wisely.
Who's going to be my best friend? Is it going to be Vince or is it going to be Phil? No, that's tough. Well, I guess I'd say Phil. I mean, I get to talk with Vince every day, which is really awesome. But I enjoyed talking with Phil and getting to know him a little better. I was really impressed by how open he was. Because he kind of rides the line between academic professor and practitioner, and he's also a prominent member in the Shambhala community. But I felt he was pretty open about all the topics and all the questions I asked him, and he wasn't worried about politics. I mean, he did it very skillfully, but he was very honest. And surprisingly, it's the number one downloaded podcast that we have, which totally surprised me. Not that it wasn't a great podcast, but being how Phil is relatively unknown, except for, you know, the Shambhala community, it surprised me that he's been downloaded like almost upwards of 4,000 times.
Is that because you keep logging in under different usernames and downloading
me.
It on multiple computers?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
that's what I was thinking.
My podcast interview is going to be number one.
Yep. We have a little competition going.
Yes. I tried to come out on top and I'm winning.
Actually, here's my real question. Yeah. How is it in 6 months you've only managed to do two interviews?
I just was wondering that
that's
myself.
Amazing.
I'm like, damn.
We got to crack the whip.
Well, we should mention the lost interview in quotes.
Yes.
Because apparently Ryan had a fantastic, I hear that he had a fantastic interview with Reggie Ray.
Oh, it's so painful.
It's what's floating around is that it may not have happened. I'm not convinced.
It happened.
It did.
It happened. It was awesome. Reggie, please interview me with me again. I beg of you.
So what happened, Ryan? I'd like to hear, maybe the listeners would like to hear also how we managed to have such a great interview and
lose it. Yeah, I don't know. And I even thought I was a good little geek, and I have my laptop and I have a backup drive and I backed it up, and then stuff happened and it was gone. I don't know. It's a long story, but basically I even bought a $100 program for a data recovery to try to find Reggie's interview, and that didn't even find it.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
So I was depressed for at least a good week. I'm going to attempt again to get Reggie. I think he'll do it. It was awesome, though. That would have been my favorite, actually. That was my favorite that no one's ever heard. So
how about you, Vince?
Good question. I started out interviewing Alan. I was a little bit nervous talking to him. I mean, I talked to him before, but this was my first formal interview, so I was a little bit nervous. I might not have enjoyed it that much because of that. I think I enjoyed talking to Daniel the most. Daniel Ingram, who you'll probably notice on the comment section of pretty much every post. Word up, Daniel. He's been a friend of mine for a little while now and sort of like a teacher. And so I felt a little more comfortable talking to him and felt like I could go into some more controversial areas without it being a big problem. So I enjoyed that talk and just mentioned that the 9th episode, Enlightened Teachers, there's like 52 comments after that thread on that thread. Yeah. And the book continues.
Yeah. I've been impressed by the comments from readers directed at Daniel. I think it's been a pretty healthy conversation where people have been challenging him and also prodding him to go further into his own views on practice. So I think it's been an overall healthy conversation. I was concerned because I didn't know. I mean, he is a bit controversial.
Yeah, he is.
Compared to the mainstream Buddhism. And so I wondered if it's going to turn into, you know, no one would comment or it'd be a flaming fest, but it wasn't. It's been, continues to be balanced.
And I think our readers are pretty, for the most part, they're pretty fair.
Yeah.
There has been a little bit of poo flinging, but for the most part, I think people have been really friendly with each other and get to the heart of the matter rather than name calling, which you do see on other sites.
Yeah. That's good.
So, yeah, it's great.
So how about you, Gwen? What was your favorite interview? And do we want to talk about your lost interview?
My lost interview?
Well, the one that we recorded but never put up.
Oh, yeah. We can. Sure. We have... I interviewed Noah Levine, actually, of the Dharma Punks. If I'm 100% honest about it, I think... I didn't know the right questions to ask him because I'm not practicing in his tradition. And it also felt a bit like an infomercial to me. His new book was coming out, Against the Stream. Mm. And he really wanted to talk about that, which was great. I know there was a lot of excitement around it, but it just came across sounding like there was a product or idea being sold. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I declined to submit it to the site. I'm sorry for you Noah fans out there. I know people are really passionate about him and he's an awesome person. So perhaps in the future, Vince, we'll do an interview with him and ask him some hard questions that get to the heart of what he's doing.
Yeah.
My favorite interview following on the heels of that statement was with Brad Warner. And it's because Brad he has a sense of humor and a way about him that really put me at ease. Mm. And we were able to rap about Japan and compare our experiences living abroad. And he's just, I don't know. Although he comes under fire a lot and he gets a lot of flack for being on Suicide Girls, I think it's just a really forward thinking way to actually go into the fire itself, you know, rather than looking out from the outside saying, hey, what are those girls doing? Taking off their clothes and piercing their bodies. And instead he's like sitting in the middle of it, really just kind of holding space for what's happening on that site and the kind of mystique or whatever around it.
How do you feel about Gimpo's posts and the reactions to that? Cause they continue to come in probably the most varied in terms of reaction, pretty strong reactions on both sides about really liking it and really disliking it. How did you feel actually going through the process?
Being big-minded.
Being big-minded.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was an honor to talk with Gimpo Roshi. He's also got a way about him that puts you at ease. He praises first and that he leads with his heart. I really felt a heart connection with him, even though I've never met the man in person. And I've heard similar comments from other people who have spent some time with him here, like at the Integral Institute. Mm-hmm. So I still kind of wonder what the fuss is all about.
Either way, whether you like it or
that's where
it.
I stand with it. Yeah.
Interesting. I just want to say, listening to you doing the Big Mind process was pretty profound for me. I was amazed at the sudden shifts, and it just sounded like all of a sudden you were speaking from those authentic voices, and it was profound, actually, just listening to it and seeing that there is some truth to the to some of those voices or the wisdom behind them being available at any time.
I found that my guard came down very easily with him. And like you're, what you're mentioning, things just started dropping away. And I was a little bit freaked out about it at first, but as soon as I was able to kind of soften that, and I came back to that place, that spaciousness, for the next couple of days. And I think if I did it again, it would just, I think it's a very accessible place for people to get to.
Interesting.
I think that doing the big mind and sharing with others like we did on the site might be even more effective with video. In editing that podcast, I actually edited it a bit differently to help leave in some nonverbals to try to communicate the process. But in the end, I don't feel it's communicated very well. Maybe a bit of that was lost. You could note the changes that were happening for you, but you couldn't see it happening. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
So if anyone wants to donate a video camera and a couple terabytes of bandwidth to us, we'd be happy to switch to video.
Sure. Excellent.
Wicked.
Thanks.
So I noticed you guys are wearing these really radical shirts.
We are. They're sexy and
they are
hot.
They haven't been modified, but
no,
they're somehow your muscles are modifying them.
Thanks.
Thanks, Quinn.
Yes.
You guys aren't as geeky as you make yourselves out to be. Come on.
I know. We're just pseudo-geeks.
Pseudo.
Posers.
So the geeks shirts are out.
Yeah.
Just released.
Just released through Cafe Press. www.cafepress.com/BuddhistGeeks.
Or you can buy through our site, www.BuddhistGeeks.com.
Way to plug it.
We got to plug away. We've had lots of people ask us about the shirts, which is really cool. I mean, like, we were going to get them anyways, because we just wanted one and we thought they were cool. It's great that a lot of people have been emailing us saying, where the hell are the shirts?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been saying, basically, we want a way to give to you guys because we're also accepting donations.
Yeah.
And we want to get something in return, which I think is totally fair. If you, you know, don't like just giving and feeling the goodness of giving.
Yeah, what's up with you?
But
Buddhist guilt.
Yeah, so... So there are a couple of different ways that you can give to us now, and hopefully people will be rocking the shirts out. And honestly, I've gotten tons of comments on my shirt. I walk around Boulder and people are like, hey, cute shirt. And nice. I say, thanks.
Yeah, I'm
BuddhistGeeks.com.
I'm looking forward to getting the comments. Did we have BuddhistGeeks.com on here?
Oh, no.
Damn. Should have slapped that on the back. Or does that cost a lot of money to do that?
Cost a little more money. And I just wasn't sure how cool that would be to have a website on the back of the shirt. But
Seth cool. Godin would definitely say...
Marketing says thumbs up.
Thumbs up to .com.
Yeah.
Itch. We'll just tape it on our shirt .com.
But, you know, that being said, I modified mine. I cut out the collar, cut off the sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hot that, you know, people... They want to know more than just, they don't even just say cool shirt. They're like, where did you get that cool shirt?
Nice.
I'm like, not only did I buy it through Cafe Press and BuddhistGeeks.com, but I modified it myself. So we're going to have like a modification how to post it on the site sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Awesome.
Great idea.
I just came up with that.
Cool.
Nice.
We'll have to have a little Flickr slideshow of the different mods.
No doubt. Send us your pictures.
Yeah, send us your pictures. We're going to mention we want your pictures. If you got a shirt, take a picture of yourself and send it to us. info@BuddhistGeeks.com. And also go to our contact page, and we're going to start talking a little bit more, the three geeks, now that we've been reunited. And we want some suggestions on what kinds of things you'd like to hear us talk about, if in fact you do want to hear us talk. And we'd love to do that. So send them in, and we'll start talking about them and posting the podcast.
This has been a presentation of BuddhistGeeks.com, copyright 2007. Music in this podcast provided by C for Chaos. For more great music and writing, visit his blog at www.cforchaos.com.